Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Prophet Jeremiah. God is persistent and patient, hoping that people will respond to him before it is too late. If there is no repentance, God will then seek out justice because he is obligated to mete out punishment. The holy anger exhibited by God is just as intense as his love. The Lord warned the tribe of Benjamin to flee from Jerusalem and likened Judah to a fragile woman who depended upon others for support. Judgment was coming for this woman, and it would be fierce because the leadership had lied to the people that peace would continue, and the people had refused to listen to the word of God. Judah was sandwiched between Assyria and Egypt, two superpowers that dominated the area for hundreds of years, and yet there was another superpower which would come from the north. It was difficult for them to understand that Assyria and Egypt would be pushed aside by a mightier nation. God gave the southern kingdom plenty of time to repent, and he continues to warn the nations of the world today that change is coming because of sin, and it won't be pleasant. This message is entitled, Impending Disaster. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we're going to be talking today about impending disaster. And you could have a lot of information for you today. So let me just pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that there be no confusion here, Father God, and that you will give me clarity of mind, help me to read the scriptures slow, and help me, Father God, to present the message today that, Lord, would be clear, and that, Father God, there be no problems to understand it. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, there was a man that was called to give by God to be a preacher by the name of David Wilkerson. And David Wilkerson is a founder of Teen Challenge and Victory Outreach is an offspring of this. He had Nicky Cruz that accepted Christ, the gang leader, back in the 60s. And then we had another man that also was a member of a gang, and he also came to Christ. And he founded Victory Outreach, which is all over the United States. Now, David Argoncino is his name that started Victory Outreach. Now, David Wilkerson traveled in the United States in the 60s and 70s, and he was welcomed in many different churches. He spoke about drug abuse, about helping people, and so on. And everybody liked him. Until one day, God gave him a prophetic word. And he wrote a book called Set the Trumpet to Your Mouth, followed by another book, The Vision. And from having been a darling among the Assembly of God churches of the United States, he was told, we no longer want you to come to our churches. You're too negative, judgment talking. We don't need that. We want to be uplifted. We want to feel good. When we go home, we want to feel, you know, like we have had a good time. So he couldn't go and preach anymore. God raised him up. He died a few years ago now, and he's been the Lord. And I believe that Satan took him out. He had a violent crash. His wife, he said, was driving down on the country road in Texas. And for some reason, he just swirled over, hit the big truck, semi-truck. He was crushed and died on the scene. His wife survived. And I believe that Satan took him out because he simply said, we don't want to hear that anymore. So I want to share a couple of things with you now. There are a number of things that are happening. Let's talk about President Trump to begin with. Every one of us have a past. I got a past. I done things that I shouldn't have done, and I have been forgiven. God has saved me, and I don't have to be judged according to my past. Donald Trump had a problem with women, and this is something that everybody knows, and things had taken place 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and they're not trying to bring it up, and they're trying to destroy his presidency. So we need to understand he's not a perfect man. He's not the pastor of the United States. He's a president. But he has received Christ. He's praying. He got godly people around him. And his past is haunting him. But if God has forgiven him, he's asked for forgiveness, we need to forgive him. And of course, the left will never forgive him. Something happened 2 weeks ago that most Americans do not understand. Now, Donald Trump has attacked a number of different things. But about 2 weeks ago, he took on the Federal Reserve Bank system. The Federal Reserve Bank system is a private banking institution. It has nothing to do with the United States government. It's a ripoff. It came in 1913. And the way it works is like this. The United States, according to the Constitution, Congress has the right to coin and mint money. In 1913, that was taken away. And it was given to the Federal Reserve Bank system to print our money. When they print the money, the United States government has to pay a fee for this. So in other words, they print money, the United States has to pay the money for their services. Also, they set the interest rate that simply guides the whole economy. And if you lived long enough, you know in the 1980s, we had an interest rate that was up about 21 to 22%. And it killed a lot of people and businesses. And President Trump said, you know, I really don't like this. It's stifling the economy. So once you take that on, JF Kennedy did. He died in Dallas, Texas. Number one of the people have done that. And your life is in danger. So we need to pray for that. Let's talk now about the weather. This morning, the network was simply talking about disasters from the south of Florida, Georgia, all the way up to the east coast, way into Chicago. Tornadoes, by the hundreds. Flooding, destruction. Have you noticed this? Every week we have weather destruction. We do know that they had weather modification. We got the chemtrail project and so on. And some people says, well, this is man-made. I am sorry, I don't agree with you on that. And I want you to turn right now in your Bible with me to 1 Kings 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He simply said this now, for the next, it was 3 years drought, no rain. God has angels that control the weather. Turn up to Haggai. It's one of the main what do you call it, the minor prophets. And he's been Zephaniah and Zechariah. In Haggai chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, we read this. And I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which they ground bring forth, upon men and upon cattle, upon all the labors of your hands. So we find here now that God simply says, I control the weather. Let's turn to Ezekiel now, a couple of books back. And that's Ezekiel chapter 38. And we're going to pick it up and read verses 22 and 23. This is God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This is a future. But God said, I will use hailstones. I will do all kind of destruction upon these people that I'm judging. Here's a scripture I did not give to our crew here, but it's in Revelation. And I'm going to read from chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7, and verse number 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels that was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. God simply is right now judging the United States. Not only the United States, but in Norway and Sweden, we have forest fires. Now, I lived there for a number of years. We never had any fires in the forest, very seldom, because it rained a lot. But they haven't had any rain. They don't have any equipment. They don't have any airplanes to take it off. They're having airplanes come out from Italy and other places in Europe to help them to fight the fires. And they also spread into Russia in the northern part around Murmansk and that area. There's a lot of places. England right now is suffering from heat waves. And the other place on the earth. God is right now simply saying this, I am not happy with the way things are. I don't like the way you live. I am going to put a judgment on, hoping that we will get smart enough that we will say, okay, God is talking to us. Have you ever thought about this? Just last night they had a number of tornadoes in the Midwest and on the East Coast and the South. There were people that today have no homes. When they went to bed last night, they had homes, cars, everything was intact. Today, they have nothing except the clothing on their back. What do you do? The house is destroyed. You got a mortgage. The bank is not going to forgive you. The bank is going to say, I don't care if the house is gone. You're going to have to pay off that mortgage. You pay for something that doesn't exist anymore. Where do you go? You go to the Red Cross. You try to find places. Let me tell you something. When disaster strikes and you lose everything, then you understand, well, I got no place. I got no clothes. I got nothing. Where do I go? I'm homeless. And God is simply saying now, there's selective judgments. And the rest of us, we says, okay, we're still good. Everything is good. And we don't change. God is speaking to us. I talked about President Trump. They want to take him down to destroy what has been happening. God is judging. The question is, will we understand? Will we repent? Turn with me now in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 6. And when I took on to, actually, I did not select to preach on the book of Jeremiah because it's a hard book to preach from. Chapter after chapter, more judgment, no judgment. And people say, well, we read chapter 4, no judgment. We read chapter 6, no judgment. Are we done? We're not done. The reason God wrote this, and had Jeremiah write this down, was to warn you and me living now, saying things are going to change. They are going to change. We read in the first verse, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourself to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet at Tekoa. Set up a sign of fire at Beth Hakzerim. For evil appears out of the north, and great destruction. There were two tribes in Judah. We had the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. And now in chapter 6, God is speaking to the tribe of Benjamin. Get out of Jerusalem. Flee. Judgment is coming. They were going to go through an area called Beth Hakzerim. That would be like Napa Valley. This was a wine-producing area in Judah at that time. Very nice layout. They produced a lot of good wine. And at the time when that we had this prophecy, life was good in Israel, not in Israel, but in Judah. And they loved their wines. And God said, this will be destroyed. Put a sign of fire. This wine-producing area is not going to produce wine anymore. It's going to be destroyed. Take heed, Jerusalem. I would like to say, take heed, California. Take heed, the United States. Every nation in the world, take heed. Something is happening under the surface. I have likened the daughter of Zion to comely and delicate woman. God said about Judah, she's a delicate woman, easy to bruise, fragile. And really, that's us today as a nation. As people in the world, we are fragile. Shepherds surrounded Judah, supplied her with sustenance in verse number 3. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed everyone in his place. Now, today we have all kind of activities. Do you realize that in our grocery stores, if the trucks will stop coming, a grocery store, if it is a Safeway, Raley's, or whatever you have in different areas, the shelves will be empty in 3 days. No food left. We have distribution centers. We have it set up with the farmers. Send their stuff, their groceries, not groceries, but their produce. If it is milk, meat, whatever it is, it goes to distribution centers. Trucks go for distribution centers to the different cities. And this something goes on every day. We're being fed these things that we need. What about if we have a breakdown in our system? If there's a war, if there's a famine, if there's a massive earthquake, what will happen? We will be hurting. You might say, well, I got a freezer that's full. What about if we lose our electricity? If you lose electricity, what will happen then is simple this, that the freezer food is gone. Your refrigerator is gone. And so we really need to understand we are very fragile. Then we move to verse number 4 and 7. Prepare you war against her. Arise and go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goes away, for the shadow of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let go by night and destroy her palaces. For thus has the Lord of hosts said, you down her trees, cast the mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is wholly oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out the waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. God simply said this, I am not happy with Jerusalem. God is saying to you and me today, he's not happy with us. What are we doing as a nation? First of all, we kill a lot of children. They call it abortion. The Bible calls it murder. We do a lot of gambling. The United States now dotted with these casinos. I call it the Indian revenge. You know, the Indians lost their land back in the 1600s, the 1700s. They were shoved from the East Coast, shoved further west, and finally they simply said, now we're going to put them in reservations. And when they found oil on reservations, they took that away from them. We did a lot of injustice, not us, but our ancestors did a lot of injustice to the Indians. The Indians now have a revenge. The casinos. The white people go there. Black people go there. And the Indians take their money. And there are many families destroyed. It can't be destroyed of all the gambling and all the things that goes on. We got pornography. We got whorehouses. We got disasters. Just in Sacramento here yesterday, they had a party in a well-to-be suburb. And somebody decided to go and kill somebody. They shot some people up, but they died. Party was over. Everybody drunk, they sobered up fast when they begin to hear the shots and saw people falling down. Divorces. Our marriages are falling apart. People on the streets. We have all kind of problems. Drugs. We legalized marijuana. We legalizing a lot of things. And God simply say, I don't like the way you are living. If the pastors does not speak up, the guy that runs the bar, the bartender, is not going to say, hey, folks, you need to repent. The people that are in the world, they're not going to say that. And if the pastors do not call for repentance, how should we repent? What should we do as individuals? We should first of all ask ourselves this, how's my life? We should start interceding for other people and begin to pray for our nation and say, God, we have sinned as a nation. Have mercy on us. But how many people, how many Christians are praying to God for mercy? If you take a regular church, if you have 100 people Sunday morning for worship, I can guarantee you have 50 for Sunday night. 25 for prayer meeting on Wednesday night, whatever your prayer meeting it is. People don't like to pray. They can do everything but pray. And God said, I am not happy. In verse 8, be you instructed, Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you desolate, a land not inhabited. God is saying to you and me today, be instructed. Now I know I'm speaking to the choir today. Most of you that are watching us, listening to us right now, You're saved. You're walking with the Lord. But we need to get awakened to the fact that we need to begin to tell people around us. We need to warn people. We need to have a deeper prayer life. We need to sound the alarm in order for us to escape the great wrath. I'm reading a book right now, The Aftermath After World War II. I was a boy in 1945, and I remember we had rationing and so on. But Europe was totally destroyed from 1939 to 45. France, Holland, Belgium, Germany, Austria, Poland, all the countries. There was nothing left. The structure destroyed. There was no policemen left. There was chaos. No food. No transportation. It took about 5 years for people milled around and had absolutely nothing. That whole continent was bombed back to Stone Age. Now you can't see it. It's rebuilt. It's beautiful again. But about 40 to 50 million people that lost their lives had everything destroyed. Our society can be destroyed in 5 minutes. The Soviets have enough nuclear weapons. The Chinese got enough nuclear weapons that they can simply destroy the nation completely. We can destroy China. We can destroy Russia. We have the power to do that. We're living very close on the edge. This could happen. If someone gets stupid enough to pull a trigger, it could happen. Are we thinking about it? No. We're having a good time. But God's judgment is coming. Let's read to verse number 9. This is the Lord of hosts. They shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back your hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. In other words, all the fruit will be picked off. The people will be picked off. The people of Judah had a problem. They did not want to hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warnings? They might hear. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. God is simply saying this. I'm trying to speak. I'm trying to speak to the Baptist churches, the Pentecostal churches, the Free Evangelical churches. I'm trying to speak to the Lutheran. I'm trying to speak to the Episcopalian. I'm trying to speak to everybody. And simply saying this, I'm not happy with you. You know what? No one's listening. No one pays attention to God. Turn with me to Matthew. We're going to come back and return to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read from 10 through 15. Here's what Jesus said. And the disciple came and said to him, why do you speak unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it was given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have no more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, shall not understand. Seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time and should see with our eyes, hear with our ears, and should understand with our heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus said, God has simply closed up the eyes and the ears of people. It's a judgment. And then he said to the apostles, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. If you want to see the result of sin, go to the nearest hospital any time during the week. Go into the ER emergency room. Every hospital's emergency room is absolutely packed, 24 hours a day. And you see people there. You see the old hippies that used to dance and have free love and so on in the 60s and 70s. They now, their bodies are destroyed. They are sick. There's cancer, diabetes, heart attack, strokes. And they're sitting there wheezing. And you see these people. And you wonder, how did you get here? Well, we sinned here with food, drugs, lifestyle living. And there they are. Every day the morgues are receiving people. The morgues never stop. It's always new corpses coming in. Now, we that are living, you see, we don't go to the ER if we're not sick. We don't think about that. And we're having a good time. We eat our food, live in our homes, and so on. And we don't realize that there is judgment. People are getting cancer, diabetes, kidney failure, strokes. There's a lot of suffering. It reminds me of the cattle houses in Chicago. They have that big slaughterhouse sections there. And they bring in cows by the millions. And they have these big pens. And when the cows come in, they put them in these pens. And they give them fresh cold water every day. Fresh corn every day. And the cows are standing there eating good and getting a little bit more fatter. And they say, life is good. Man, look at this cold water. All the grain we want to eat. Until the day when they lead it into the slaughterhouse and they realize we were fools. They were fattening us up for the kill. What fools we were. We need to recognize that God is talking to us. Let's go back to Jeremiah 6 right now and read verses 11 to 13. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord, and where withholding it, have it poured out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young and together. For even for the husband with his wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And the houses shall be turned into others, with the fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, every one of them is given to covetousness. And for the prophets, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. God said this, the fury of the Lord is going to be turned. I don't necessarily want you to be depressed today. But when we read this, we need to be sober. We need to be somber. We need to recognize that party time is going to come to an end someday. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. After Adam and Eve, God gave people 1,600 years, 1,600 years. Then came the flood. Eight people were saved. And if you look upon that, God drowned them all. Animals, birds, people, everything got wiped out. God gave them 1,600 years to repent. And then he destroyed them. If you look upon Israel in the 7th century before Christ, they were uprooted, the land destroyed, the cities destroyed. They never returned. A few remnants. 200 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed. The people uprooted, taken to Babylon. We see the judgment of God. Now, if God judged his so-called chosen people, what about us Gentiles that have been grafted in? Shouldn't we begin to think, you know, I don't want to irritate God. God has emotions. And if you really want to understand how God feels about it, right now God says, I will forgive you, repent, I will forgive you, I'll bring you into my grace, I'm going to bring you into heaven. But if you do not repent, if you do not repent, and you die in your sins, I will have no mercy. He has the lake of fire. And I want you to think about this. God is simply saying this. This is the time of grace. But the time of grace will be over. And when the time is over, there's a lake of fire for those that get saved. And there, you'll be tormented. Not for a day, not for 10 years, not for 100 years, but forever and ever and ever. No mercy. God is love. But God is also judgment. And the prophets were told, warn the people. Blow the trumpet in Zion. And I want you to be shook today. I want you to go out and begin to evangelize. Amen. To talk to people. It is serious. The leadership, they simply pacify the people. They lied to them. In verse 14 of Jeremiah 6, we read this. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. They deceived them. They simply said, you know, there's no peace. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we read from verse number 1. But of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write it to you. For you yourself know perfectly the day of the Lord who comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they should not escape. Look upon Syria. The country of Syria was a beautiful place before this last civil war started. They had nice cities. They had orchards, vineyards. People in Syria lived pretty well. They had a stupid dictator, but the people at large lived pretty well. It's all destroyed. Aleppo used to be a great city of commerce. It's wiped out. Everything is gone for them. They are Muslims. There's some Christians there. And as Muslims, they say, you know, where is Allah? Well, Allah does not exist. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob does. And today, you got a few million Syrians up in Europe. You got another million sitting in Jordan, Turkey, thrown out of the land. Everything crushed. Had no future. They don't know God. Are we beginning to get the picture? We need to evangelize like we've never done before. Back to Jeremiah 6, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not all ashamed. Neither could they blush, therefore they should fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they should be cast down, says the Lord. I'm thinking about this woman, Stormy, that they have been parading around. She's a whore, stripper, has a child, probably out of wedlock. And when you see on television, do you see any shame on her? No, she's cashing in, dancing nude, showing herself. No shame, no understanding that she's sinning on her own body. And so are many, many other people. Walking away, said the Lord, to be blessed. Verse 16. This is the Lord. Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old path. Where's a good way? Walk therein. You should find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, he says, I haven't robbed a bank, haven't killed anyone today, and I don't have no abortions. Have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated? Have you ever done something that you shouldn't do? Of course we do that. We need to ask God for forgiveness. We need to understand that we need to keep God's commandment. God said, watchmen over Judah, but the people refused to hear them. Verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. How many times have you been witnessing to people that say, shut up! I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear about Jesus. It offends me. People don't want to hear. So what do we do then? We need to pray that God will open their minds so they want to hear. You were here today in the chapel. You that are watching us or listening to us. Somebody gave you the gospel. Somebody shared the gospel with you. And you accepted Jesus Christ. Are you doing the same thing? We had a wonderful thing happen this week. You know, every time I'm having a webcast, I give an invitation at the end. Have you got a phone call from a young man in his 30s? They called us, the minister this week, and said that he wanted to talk to me about salvation. He had been listening for a few, maybe months, weeks. And he was raised Jewish, and at the age of 20, he got disgusted by Judaism and converted to Islam. And then he started studying the Quran. He found out some inconsistencies. And for some reason, he slid over to our YouTube channel and heard one message, and God hooked him. Came back for a second and a third. So I spent about an hour and a half with him this week on the phone. We made an appointment. And he said, does God save anyone? I said, God saves anyone. Is it ever too late? I said, as long as you're breathing, it is not too late. He went through scriptures. And then I said, would you like to pray and receive Christ right now? He said, yes, I will. And he was gloriously saved right there at his home in another state over the telephone. God is speaking. God still wants to save. Look in Matthew chapter 23. You know, I left my job as an engineer to preach the gospel because I felt the urgency. And I wonder, you don't have to leave your jobs. But are you willing to share the gospel? In verse number 37, we read this. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone that which are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gather her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Jesus said, I wanted to gather you. I want to bring you in, but you wouldn't let me. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. What would happen if you, and maybe a brother of yours, a couple of you, whatever city you live in, would say, we're going to start praying, start one time a week, and I'm just going to pick a day. We're going to meet on Thursday night, and we're going to start fasting Wednesday night, fast all day Thursday. We're going to meet Thursday night, and we're going to pray for our city. We're going to pray that God will begin to open the eyes and ears of people living here where we are. And we're going to ask God to send us to the ones that he has opened up, or that he will bring them to us. Can you imagine what would happen if you do that? Here's what is going to happen. It might be a week, nothing happened. You might be doing this for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe longer. But you know what? Your prayers will be answered. The smoke will come up before God on the altar in heaven. And eventually, God will bring somebody to you that will simply say, you know, I'm really depressed. I want to know about God. Do you know anything about God? And they're going to be like ripe fruit. You will share the gospel with them, and they will say, well, let's pray. I was sitting in my office years ago, and it was about 5:35 or something like that. I was ready to go home. And I got a phone call from a man, a businessman, Sacramento. He said, I want to come to your office right now. I want to get saved. I said, really? Okay, I didn't know the guy. He says, are you going to stay there? Well, I said, of course I'm going to stay. If you want to come and get saved, I want to do that. So he came down, walked in, and he said, I'm ready. What do I do to get saved? So I gave him some scriptures, prayed with him. Why did he do that? Because people on his job had been talking to him about Jesus, praying for him, telling him, call that church. And he got saved. Think about that. Instead of playing a video game, instead of watching a stupid sitcom, instead of doing something where you're just fiddling away your time, you take a night and say, we're going to pray for 2 hours. We're going to pray and ask God. We're going to worship him. We're going to read the scripture. We're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to give us souls. I tell you what, we're going to have a harvest. And then God gave a warning to the nations. Verse 18. Therefore hear you, nations, and know a congregation was among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thought, because they have not hearkened to my words, not to my law, but rejected it. God said, I will bring judgment. To what purpose come there to me incense from Sheba, and a sweet cane from the far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifice sweet unto me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay a stumbling block before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbors and the friends shall perish. God simply said now, nations, be warned. If you study history, you will find prior to Jesus coming, there was a lot of judgment on nations. And after that, hundreds of years, thousands of years, nation against nation, people killing this and doing this and that. There's been a slaughterhouse on this earth every century. And yet, for some reason, our leadership, our teachers, our pastors, doesn't seem to get the picture. We are repeating the same thing century after century. When will there be an awakening? I remember the Jesus movement in the late 50s, early 60s. We had the hippies. Drugs were flowing free for all. They had what they called love feast. Everybody loved, everybody had sex. They were just like dogs, any place, any time, day or night. And as the decadence, and in California, up to Oregon, Washington, you had young people at that time, about hundreds of thousands of people flocking to the beaches doing their thing. And people were shaking their heads. And you know what God did? He simply picked out a few hippies and saved them. Supernaturally, the Holy Ghost came down upon them. They sobered up. And they became flaming evangelists. And suddenly, after 4 or 5 years, you had all kind of communes up and down in California, Oregon, where people were there saved, worshiping God. And they started sending people out into, they sent people out into other countries. Jesus people went all over. God did that sovereignly. Can God do it again? We got the millenniums now. Another generation. You can be another Jesus movement. Another wave from the Lord. In verse 22 of back chapter, this is the Lord. Behold, the people come from the north country, and the great nation be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel, and they have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea. They ride upon horses, set in array as the men for war against you, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands work feeble. Angry to get hold of us, and pain as a woman in travail. God is simply saying here now, go not forth in the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fears on every side. O daughter of my people, gird you with sackcloth, wallow yourself in ashes, make the mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the spoil shall suddenly come upon us. God warned them and said they're coming from the north. They were used to Egypt and Assyria. They didn't know about Babylonia. But Babylon was rising. China today is rising. The Chinese government do not like America. They're not our friends. Putin is not our friend. People in other nations are not our friends. Many of our senators and congressmen are not our friends. They are enemies. Enemies of the cross. The people of Judah were rebels and slanderers. Verse number 28. They are grievously revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The fountain melts in vain. For the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord has rejected them. Could it be called silver that is corrupt, useless, worthless? Let me take you now to Revelation chapter 13. This is what you and I are facing. Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 5. The Antichrist is going to come. As sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit today, the United States someday will lose its sovereignty. The Constitution will be no more. There will be no president, no Senate, no Congress, no Supreme Court. It will be a world court. It will be a world leader. It will be international law, not the Constitution. It's coming. If you live that day, there's going to be a judgment like you've never seen before. Some of us, if you're younger, you most likely will see that. You were born for that purpose. You were saved for that purpose. God's going to use you for that purpose. But let me read to you now from Revelation 13, verses 5 through 9. And they were given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwelt in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. God can postpone the judgment. God can push you back in the future where more people can be saved, and you will have a chance to live out your life. In 1953, Joseph Stalin had prepared an attack upon Finland, Sweden, and Norway. The troops were ready. Everything was set to go. But the night before the invasion was to start, God struck, and Stalin died that night. The invasion never took place. The Swedish people and the Finnish people and the people of Norway did not know how close they were to war until years later, when the archives were open. When Stalin died, he had with him a number of people. One of them was Beria. He was a very evil man. And they said that Stalin suddenly rose up. He had a stroke. His eyes open. His face was contorted. And with a fist up, he cursed terrible language everyone in that room. And he cursed Russia. And then it was like the air was sucked out of him. And his soul was taken out to hell. And his body slumped. If we pray, if we seek the Lord, if we really begin to fast and do things, I believe that God can do miracles. Absolute miracles. God is not done yet. Remember this. When God spoke this to Jeremiah, there was still 38 years to go. For 38 years, God spoke week after week and said, please, please, please. And he's doing that to us today. Time is running out. But we still have time. And I tell you what, if we repent as a nation, if we repent as individuals, things will change. They will change. Now, the man that gave his life to Christ this week, there are a number of you that have been watching us for years, and you send in donations every month to keep us alive. Because it costs money to have YouTube channels and webcasting like we do, being on Vimeo and so on. It costs us money. But by you giving and praying for us, you will also get credit for that man and many others that have come to Christ. We're doing this together. Because you see, I as a person myself, I could not do this. When we pool our resources and say, let's do this together, we can build a fantastic harvest machine to bring in souls. And I'm going to close this sermon here today by simply saying this. Matter of fact, I'm going to give a bonus scripture. Sorry about this, Alexi. Let's go to Revelation 3:20. Beautiful. Let's read verses 19 and down. Jesus said this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He corrects us. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Get on fire. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him, and he with me. God is knocking on each one of our doors, our hearts, and saying this, I want to come in. I'm Jesus. I want to come in. I want to save you. I want to heal you. I want to touch you. I want to love you. I want to encourage you. I want to give you abundant life. How do you get to that? Here's what you need to do. Remember this. Church membership does not save any person. I was baptized 3 days old in a Lutheran church, which is similar to a Catholic church. And I became a proud member of the state, Swedish State Lutheran Church. But that didn't save me. I went through confirmation at the age of 13. They never told me about getting saved. I learned the catechism. I learned a few verses here and there. And then they gave me the first communion. That didn't save me. Church membership does not save. Good works do not save. There's only one thing that saves. That is Jesus Christ. That you recognize that he paid the price on the cross, on Golgotha. When he hung there, he paid for your sins and my sins. And when he died, he was resurrected 3 days later. And through his death and resurrection, you and I can be saved. And how do we get saved? We call upon the name of the Lord. If you're watching today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to simply pray right now. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Father God, I repent. I need to be saved. I'm not saved, Lord. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day. I believe you paid for my sins. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. And save me now. And he will. That's how simple it is. Repenting, confessing, and asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. When we finish here, you that are watching and listening, Brother Charles Tavallon is going to come. You will not see him, but you will hear him. He would take some more scriptures that I have used. He would have pray with you and make sure that you know that you're saved today. Call us and write us after that and let us know that you receive Christ. That would be the greatest thing that could happen. To you that are saved, here's what I want you to take home with today. Would you consider this? Find one or two people, three or four, and say, we're going to meet once a week, whatever time we decide. That day we're going to fast first, and we're going to use that time, maybe an hour, 2 hours, to pray for our city, for our place, for God to open our hearts to people to come and be saved. Amen. If you do that and start that this week, I tell you what, something great is going to happen. God bless you. In Jesus' name, Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word today, Lord. and a lot of things said and talked about. And we know that in eternity will all be laid out before us. So we thank you, Father, for salvation for the people of the world. And that we thank you for the your hand to be upon world leaders. And we just give you praise for Jesus Christ, who came to save mankind. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you.
but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 11th part in the series, The Prophet Jeremiah, and was entitled Impending Disaster. God is persistent and patient, hoping that people will respond. But if there is no repentance, He will seek out justice because He is obligated to mete out punishment. The holy anger exhibited by God is just as intense as His love. The Lord warned the tribe of Benjamin to flee from Jerusalem and likened Judah to a fragile woman who depended upon others for support. Judgment was coming for this woman, and it would be fierce because the leadership had lied to the people that peace would continue, and the people refused to listen to the word of God. Judah was sandwiched between Assyria and Egypt, two superpowers that had dominated the area for hundreds of years. God would send another superpower that would come from the north to be His instrument of judgment, and the sword would follow the inhabitants wherever they fled. This would be a time of great mourning as Babylon removed their wealth and entertainment and replaced it with another lifestyle. If God didn't spare His own people and allowed them to be conquered, what does that say about us today? We need to remember the lessons of the past because God is not mocked, and His love can turn to fury. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1661. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.